This is How Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Brooks Like, and this is How Men Think, a podcast where we dive into all sorts of topics that men and women deal with, and we kind of jump up into the brain of a man, and we open source that for everybody to hear. I'm here with my good buddy, with a nice fresh hat on today, Mr. Gavin DeGraw.
So new and so fresh.
So fresh. That shirt, too.
Good to see you, Brooks.
That violet, is that violet you're wearing?
Pink. I'm celebrating my manhood right now.
Yeah, it
Gavin, looks... talk into the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. You know what, Amy?
The guy, you're a singer and you struggle with getting to the mic.
This is actually a great mic technique. When I get louder, I lean away from the mic, but it doesn't work here in the studio.
It doesn't, buddy.
Sorry, guys.
And you have brilliant things to say, my man. I want everybody to hear that wisdom. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm great. I got here on time today, so I'm feeling a little bit better about myself.
Yeah?
I got here so early that I went and got a bite to eat and came back late.
Yeah.
He's not
good to be back.
It's good. It's good to have you, buddy. And you also had seafood at a steak restaurant.
I did. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I even was an incredibly bad influence and recruited the other two guys out here to come down. And they didn't fight. I said, anybody want something to eat downstairs at the restaurant? Immediately, like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll be right down.
And the worst part, it was It was 3 minutes before we were supposed to be here. And he's like, oh, I'm early. I'm going to get a snack. You want to come? I was like, I'm in.
Who paid? Who picked up the check? Gav picked that up?
We just left.
I picked up the check. And what happened was funny because I guess by the time Dimitri first walked in, I wasn't sitting at the bar where I had said I would be. And I came back out and there was nobody there. And of course, they walked in a few minutes later. They said, where were you, man? We walked in here. You weren't in here. I said, well, actually, I was in the bathroom because I'm wearing this linen shirt and I just unpacked it and had wrinkles all over it. So I was in there throwing water on the wrinkles. And I walked out looking like I was breastfeeding all that new miracle baby, you know?
Question for you, because there's no cameras in here currently. What was, were you worried about just walking the 10 steps from Morton's to iHeart here that somebody might see your wrinkled shirt?
I was afraid, actually, that I would walk in here and then they'd have cameras in here and they'd go, hey, let's take a couple pictures for the show. You know, I'd be like, oh, man, here's the guy with the, I just unfolded my laundry from my luggage, you know? Defeats the whole kind of purpose. Like, who's the slob?
That's all right, buddy. You look fresh, you look clean, and you got a big smile.
I'm trying.
So I thought he was punking me because I walk in there. I'm like, I'm on my way. I walk in. And I look around, and the woman at the front desk is just looking at me. And I look around. I'm standing there. She gets a call, so I wait. And then she, you know, hangs up the phone. I go, is there anyone here? And she goes, you mean, like, for service, a server? And I'm like, no, like, I'm supposed to meet somebody. And she's like, no, you're the only one here. So I left. And I went back, and I bumped into Rick, and he's like, let's go back and check. So we go back, come around the same corner, and there's Gavin. Jumbo shrimp cocktail, tuna tacos, the whole spread. I was like, how did I miss him? Because the last time he told me to meet him somewhere, we were at this hotel up in Oakland, and he's like, I'm going to go back down to the bar and get a drink. I was like, all right, I'm in. So I go up to my room, and I come back down, and there he is. The bar is empty. He's sitting at the bar. He's got a beer in front of him, and he's got a beer in front of an empty seat. And I walked in. It was the most special feeling. It was like a Tinder date. I walked in.
Date night.
What a gentleman. He had a drink for me already. And this time was just the complete opposite.
Rick, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Yeah?
I'm doing well, Brooks. Yeah.
You look good, too.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just, I had a busy work day, and I made it through the traffic, and I'm happy to be here. Really excited to get this going.
Yeah, so this topic today.
Rick is not admitting that he also showered for you guys.
I was wondering. So I walked in and Dimitri said, Rick's here, he's in the shower. I'm like, does he have a corporate like office, Rick? Like, did you get that in your deal? I didn't get that in my deal.
There's a shower here you use?
There was a shower downstairs, and I was so excited. Amy hooked it all up, and I went, walked in there.
I'd like you know I had to pay $15 for that shower.
Did you use the Bodhi bar?
Bodhi bar?
You can travel with that.
It's the iHeart gym downstairs, so I had to get Rick a $15 shower.
But I was walking down there, I walked straight into the gym, and on the wall going into the gym is a gigantic poster of this dude who's just absolutely ripped, and I turned to Tori and I said, is that Brooks?
It was. It was Brooks.
Brooks wasn't in the gym.
Let's superimpose
like,
a picture
not
of Gavin
in the gym,
on
the wall. That's Brooks. It's one of those like poster things you put up in your kid's room that's just a giant baseball player.
Brother, I appreciate it. Once a day. Tell me that stuff once a day. I appreciate you, my man.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. So today's topic is something I'm really excited for this, and it's something that maybe a lot of men might be shy to talk about, maybe might be uncomfortable for a lot of men. I think a lot of women listening are certainly more comfortable discussing it, and that topic is intimacy. Intimacy. So what is intimacy? Intimacy versus sex is
every guy's dead quiet.
These guys all look at me like you can't see them, but their eyes are just
this is the wrong episode. Yeah,
I'm gonna go back down and see if I can find Gavin back at the Morton's.
The shower's still on.
I'm quite excited to get into this though. Because it's an area I certainly need to grow. I'll admit that first and foremost. I certainly need to grow.
Grow is the key word there.
Yeah. And also what's unique about this is we have four guys that are in different stages of their life. Gavin is single. So what's intimacy to a single man? How do you build that when looking for a partner, young, man or woman, who is single and looking to build intimacy with a partner? I'm freshly married. I've been married 2 years. So what is intimacy to me now? And then Dimitri, you've been married... 14 years. And Rick?
15.
So you guys have been married 14, 15 years. How has intimacy changed? How do you keep intimacy in your relationship? What fuels intimacy for you guys? And I'm sure for all of us, it's very different. So I'll pose this question to you guys to kick it off. Gavin, what in your mind? Yeah, buddy. Let's start with you.
Let's get him out of the way first.
What is intimacy?
It's going to take the most short time.
The people who know about it.
Short answer.
What to you is intimacy, buddy?
Oh.
It's a tough question, but
do I have to go first? I mean,
you don't have to.
I mean, intimacy is a lot of different things. Now, intimacy is the initial spark. We can skip what all that means. The initial spark, but ultimately, I think you have to figure out if there's a long term goal there with the person that you're intimate with. I think the culture changed and it became sort of a people got more religious and they got into the whole marital status of things, which essentially where all that stuff stemmed from, right? Having like a monogamous relationship, which a long-term thing, you're looking for a life partner if you're lucky to find that. But I think that's a different thing than somebody who's just kind of out in the world floating around looking for something that's actually going to work at all. You know, you guys have found your life partner, yeah. the love of your life, the stars aligned, et cetera, you know? It's hard for me to say that I know anything about intimacy other than, wow, look at that. That's amazing. It just hasn't quite worked out for me long term.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So intimacy falls in line with the relationship thing. So I'm not really an expert on any of that stuff.
Yeah. And I don't think any of us are. But yeah. I'll go to you two guys. You've been married 14, 15 years. Dimitri, for you and your wife, what would you say intimacy? Well, one, how would you define intimacy, and then how is it present in your relationship?
Intimacy, to me, is the when you find that person that everything else kind of melts away. You can be at your rawest state with each other, and you can feel vulnerable, and you can feel like, with this person, I feel safe. And you're like, and you're sharing. So a lot of people, I think, confuse intimacy and sex, and I think there is a sexual aspect to intimacy, but it doesn't mean that all just having sex with someone is intimate. So I think it's when you feel like you're with someone that you feel vulnerable, but you still feel safe and you feel trusted. And I think that both of you feel that way. And I think you have someone that you feel, listen, all the other stuff in the world, all the other stuff that can happen right now, this is my safe zone.
So how is it present in your relationship today? How do you and your wife make sure that you are intimate with each other? Obviously there's physically, but how emotionally or connection wise, how do you make sure that you are present and intimate on a daily basis?
Yeah, we don't. No, I'm kidding. I guess basically we just make sure that we communicate. So, and I think you have to go and do things that obviously there's the physical aspect of it, but I think you have to do things that remind each other that you have that relationship. So it's like, you'll have conversations with each other and you'll keep each other, you know, up to date on your feelings, or not up to date sounds so businessy, but you'll be open about your feelings and this and that. But I think you have to remind each other that you do have that relationship. So, you know, if someone had a crazy day, or if someone's going through something, or if there's someone in the family is ill, anything, you have to remind that person and spend a little time. It could be something as simple as holding a hand. It could be, you know, spooning while you're in bed, and it could just be having a conversation. But it's like, you have to remind that person or remind each other that you have that relationship.
Yeah.
And when all this other stuff is there, that you're strong at the core.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that's where it comes from.
Love it.
That's what I meant to say earlier.
Yeah.
I was actually
he stole your answer, hey?
I was reading that from his text that he sent us.
I was like, I'm gonna take one for the team here, and here's the answer you should give.
I like that. You set him up to succeed, Gav.
You're welcome.
Good for you, buddy. Rick, let's touch on you for a sec.
To be honest, it's hard. You know, when you've been married for 15 plus years or 15 years or whatever, or maybe it's even 2 years or maybe it's nine or whatever, I do believe that it's a very hard thing to maintain. And two people have to, or your partner, you really have to work at it. It's not just something, you know, falling in love is falling in love. And you're like Dimitri's saying, you're kind of, everything goes away and you're just with each other and you're engaged with that person. I think that's kind of the early stages of that. And then as you grow older or you're married longer and then you have kids and there's other things that come into your life that not to say are more of a priority, but for the both of you are more of a priority, you know, raising your kids, getting them to school, you know, whatever that may be.
They take up space.
They take up more of that space. And I think reaching back into that person, you know, after 15 years it's very challenging, you know, and those are some of the things that my wife and I face, you know, and whether that's trying to make it, it's as hard for us or me to schedule a dinner date.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, well, when do you want to do that?
Yeah.
But it has to be done. And that's how important it is. And I think even with my wife and I, we really try to make those dates, whether it's a dinner date or maybe it's going together to one of the kids' games. You know, right now we split ways and, you know, I'm with my son or she's with my son and I'm with my, you know, it's like, hey, where do we connect back?
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of that times it's let's make our favorite meal.
Yep.
Together.
Yep.
Let's, you know, whatever that is, you know. So I think it's really trying to find the things that you fell in love with each other back at day one and rehashing some of that stuff and being like, remember that time we were down in Newport Beach and you know, we jumped off the Lido Pier and in our bathing suits on the 4th of July and then we drove home and we went to my parents' house and we were like dating for about 2 weeks and it was like craziness, you know, but like, those are the, you know, when we drive over a bridge, it's like, let's jump. Let's go off, you know.
Do something fun.
It's not the Golden Gate Bridge.
But right.
Yeah.
Let's just drive off the bridge. I think that's not that's intimate.
It's reconnecting with those times in your life when you were still, when you're in love.
Yeah. You know, I think that's because you can't replace history.
You can't.
You know what I mean? If you have a great history with somebody, that's essentially becomes part of your DNA with each other and some element of your relationship, right?
So you know, and
there's validation there and there's comfort there, and what you were saying to Michi about having that person you can trust. Well, that can only really possibly happen over time, right? Where you have that person you can trust to that degree.
Correct.
Right. And I feel like, excuse me, I don't want to do a disservice here. I said what intimacy is and what I think it is and what it is in my relationship, but after Rick, you started answering, I think I need to make it clear that I'm saying that, but it's extremely challenging. You're right. I'm not saying by any means that I have this figured out and we do this every day and this is what we do and everything. You know, there are days where, especially we have four kids, there are days where it's just like, or weeks on end where it's just like you're just running around and you don't have that moment. And I think back to what you were saying, my wife's and my first official date, we went to Toys R Us because I had to buy something for my niece. And we went and we ended up playing Foursquare in the store, knocked over a display, got kicked out.
Oh boy.
That's
So it was fun. But yeah, obviously nowadays we don't have that type of thing. So you're right. I think you said it very well that you can't, what'd you say? You can't repeat history.
Replace history.
Yeah. So it's there. We can't replace it and you can't necessarily recreate it either. So
but
it's
you can't
a constant,
just rely
it's a
on
constant
it
way to figure it out.
You can't just rely on the history that you have with somebody.
Agreed.
That, we've been intimate in the past, and that's enough.
You need to create those new memories.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing, kind of, you know, we had done one of the last episodes we did, we spoke about, you're speaking about health, you know, your physical health, and saying things like, well, when you're getting older, you're not going to get back that 18-year-old physical self. You're not going to get that 23-year-old self, whatever that was in your prime, but... And so is there no, in some ways, I think there's danger in applying, well, I remember what we were, because you're not going to get that back, right? I mean, is it dark of me to say that doesn't come back, but you remember that there were those certain those natural connections that you had, and those are a reflection of who you would become ultimately because you click so quickly at a certain time in your life, and therefore there's an element of that you perhaps will grow together in a certain
yeah, that's
capacity.
Not dark. I think that's right. Realistic. I mean, yeah. You know, you don't have those, like you said, you don't have those things in the past to carry you through all the way. You
right.
have to constantly find new things right. and reinvent them.
Right.
Life is not the way it was when we were 26.
Sure.
And so it's
sure.
like, and with no kids and no, you know,
sure.
carefree. So
sure.
Yeah, it's not dark. It's right. realistic.
But you still had those great memories to tap 100%. Into to remind you of, okay, these are the things that made me fall in love to begin with. And essentially, you do need to remind yourself about those magical first times or whatever, right?
So hold on. So, no, because nobody's said it yet, so I want to bring it up. Sex.
I was just about to.
So
sex and Toys R Us.
So yes. There's
Foursquare.
There's Foursquare. There's jumping off bridge. There's these kinds of things. But what about sex and intimacy? Because when we talked about doing a show about intimacy, my first thought process, honestly, I went home and I started thinking about what is intimacy. The first thing that came to mind for me was sex, and I started thinking about what sex is, but how is intimacy present in sex? Mm. And then my wife came home. And I asked my wife, I was like, babe, we're going to do this discussion on the podcast about what is intimacy and what do you think intimacy is? And she goes, well, let me ask you, what do you think intimacy is? And I was like, oh my God, I thought of it. And I was like, my first thought process when I said, what is intimacy? I thought of sex, and that when my partner, when my wife, when her needs during sex, during intercourse are as important as mine, that's intimacy. That's what came to my brain, which is why I'm so glad my wife is here, because she has a way better explanation of what intimacy is, which we'll get to in a second. But my first thought of when I thought of intimacy was sex. Does anybody else not feel that way? Like, it sounds like you guys think of connection.
I think it's both, to be honest. And I'm not trying to just paint a nice picture here, but there's definitely the connection side of it. There's going out to dinner. There's going on romantic walks or whatever that is, whenever there is time for that. But recently, we last year and then this summer, my kids have been going to camp up in Seattle. And so for 4 weeks, I mean, that's a long time to then reconnect. It's a long time because you're reconnecting. You're kind of like, wait, how do we do this again? Right? Mm. How do we reconnect again? And then it's like, okay, in my mind, it's how many times are we like, I played this game where they're the very first day we dropped the kids off, we got back to the hotel. I'm like, how many times are we going to have sex today? You know, like today, like I'm going to keep score. We have 24.
Well, how many was it? And if it was more than four, can I have the name of the camp?
This is the best part. So the first day it was two. And so I'm like, I'm going to keep track like a baseball, you know, like what's my batting average here? And this is going to sound bad, but like I was 4 for 24. It was horrible. I was 4 for 4 the first 3 days. And then afterwards it was like, okay, never mind.
That's where baseball players sacrifice a chicken or they do something like that. You know?
I was like,
Joe Boo, they get Joe Boo in their locker. Exactly. Like, you got to try something after
the voodoo roses and all this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think sex is a definite part of it. And like you're saying, I think during sex, that's another very key aspect to it of while you're having sex, that is the almost intimate time. Not saying it's just intimate, defines intimacy itself.
Yeah.
Well, I keep asking, what comes first to you men, intimacy or sex?
Dimitri, go ahead.
I think sex comes first, because if you're talking intimacy the way we've been describing it, then you're talking about love and a deep relationship. So you're not going to constantly have, that's why people say, oh, is there one person for you? Is there a soulmate? But you're not going to constantly have deep intimacy with people every time you meet them. So the chances are you're going to have sex and sexual relations or physical stuff first before you find that person where that intimacy is the deepest.
So Amy's shaking her head. She's like wanting to probably punch you.
I think for women, you want to have sex with someone you're intimate with.
So here's my take on it. I think initially, so when you meet somebody new, I think initially there's an attraction. You see somebody and you're physically, this is how it works for me. I'm physically attracted to them. And I'm also mentally attracted to them. Mm-hmm. There's something about them that stimulates me mentally. So there's that attraction. Then sex comes. And then as you figure this person out and be around this, surround yourself with this person and explore this person more, mm-hmm. then you start to develop for me, I start to develop intimacy, more trust. We have deeper conversations and really start to explore one another as a person. That's how it works for me. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but that's how it works for me.
Right. For me, it was more when I was a kid, it was more just like, wow, that looks nice. I want that now. Right. And then, you know, as you became more of an adult, it was less about what your eyes saw and more what you saw in their eyes, right?
Oh.
And then
we need some sort of like golden like ding, like that was so well put, buddy.
Right? Hey, thanks, man. So like, you know, when you're
I told him this earlier.
When you're I was like, Dimitri, give me some lines. And so, you know, when you're having that whatever that conversation may be or whatever that interaction may be with somebody, and doesn't matter where it is, it could be in public or not, you're not really looking at them. You're seeing what's going on inside them. Right. And in essence, that triggers the sexuality part, the intimacy part, because you're looking for something that is so far beyond what the physical is that the sexuality can't even possibly match what that connection is. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Very
and
well
so,
said,
and so if you're making love with somebody just for their body, then you're not actually making love. You know what I mean? So the connection has to be so deep and so severe that it's like sex without even touching them.
Very well said. Okay, so on that point, what do you have, Amy?
Just before we go to break. You can be intimate with someone that you're not having sex with. Women can be intimate with each other.
In a non-sexual way.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay,
so. In my opinion.
So I love this discussion, and we're lucky my wife is here. She's standing by. My wife is here, and so we're going to get her take on what intimacy is right after this break. This is How Men Think, and I'm Brooks Like, and we have Ryan back in with us now. Ryan joins us.
What's
back.
Up?
Good to have you, buddy. And then also we have an esteemed, very special guest today.
Esteemed.
Uh-oh.
Yes. She is a dancer, an actress, a singer, songwriter, an entrepreneur, businesswoman.
Continue.
Yeah. And she is the love of my life. My beautiful wife, Julianne Huff, is here to really give us... To really give us the definition of intimacy.
No pressure.
Yeah, welcome, babe. Thank you. So this means the world to me that you're on, babe. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Of course. Well, it's nice to be in the room where you've been coming and hanging out with all these dudes. I love it.
I know.
You need it. By the way, you know, since we've been married, he's just been surrounded by women.
Really?
So, oh, yeah. He used to be in a locker room with all dudes, and now he can't escape women. So
dude, this is my
really
life.
Good for him.
When I was single, surrounded by dudes my entire life, locker room.
Would it help you if we wore jerseys at the show?
All of a sudden, I got married, and all of a sudden, there was women all around our house. It was one dude and 10 girls around.
Oh, yeah.
So it didn't work. However that worked out was backwards. But,
and that's why this topic is intimacy.
Yeah, very much so. So... The other night when I asked you, I asked my wife, what is intimacy? And then she turned it back on me and she asked me my description, which I mentioned to everybody else. And my first thought process was sex and about making the other person's needs as important as mine. And then I asked her, because I look up to you for so many things in our relationship and learn so much of the stuff that makes me appear smart on this show from you. So thank you for that. But I learned so much from you in our relationship, and the way you described intimacy was so beautiful that I immediately asked you, would you come on the show and share that? Because everybody needs to hear it. And I text Amy. You said yes. I text Amy and said, Julianne has to come on the show to explain intimacy. But the way you explained it, I was able to receive. And it wasn't a woman telling a man, this is what intimacy is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Can you please just rephrase what you said the other night to me in the kitchen?
I have to remember what I said. When I think of the word intimacy, I have to stand up because I have to like get connected, to my female rootedness.
I'm so nervous right now.
No, don't be. No, please don't be. Honestly, when I think of the word intimacy, I told you, I think it's one of the most sacred things that you can have between a partnership. I think it's what separates friendship and
lovers. And I think that most people do think about sex when they think of intimacy. But when I think of intimacy, I think of presence. I think of absolute, complete and utter connection when we are two people connecting and then we actually become like one person. And I think that that's what really differentiates, you know, friendships. You were even saying earlier, Amy, about you can have intimacy with your friendships. And that's beautiful. But there's something that's really special that happens when two lovers come together and there's an intimate connection. And you're not having sex. But then when you can actually combine the two, it's magic. And that's where I think in a lot of relationships, I think we miss that. I think we're on the phone a lot. And that 5 minutes that I come home and I'm on my phone and I don't give you presence or you don't give me presence, it sets the tone for the rest of the evening. And so I think like the most sacred thing that we can have is intimacy. And I think just figuring out what that meaning is to you. And I think everybody's definition of intimacy is different. And it's just figuring out what it means to you. And I think searching for that and actually being curious what intimacy means to you, because it's going to be different. I think when we first started speaking, you immediately went to sex. And that might be the way that you experience intimacy. For me, I experience it by eye contact and presence and almost silence.
Yeah.
So I think we're all bio-individual people. I think we have to figure out what it means exactly to us. And when you have a partner that is willing to learn what is best for you and your needs, I think that's when intimacy comes in.
And
so...
Which, by the way, is basically what I said, except I didn't stand up. That's probably what
with your legs like totally open. Yeah.
So on that, very well said, love. I just want to commend you. Yeah. Exceptional. On that point, you are exceptional at coming in the house and coming and give me a great big kiss, mm-hmm. and we connect right away. Mm-hmm. Our dogs are at our feet barking, but we connect right away. And then you are also amazing in our relationship at ensuring that intimacy stays present. Mm-hmm. At communicating from your standpoint, that's one. You have courage and bravery, and I think some of our listeners might want intimacy but mm-hmm. can't voice it or don't think they can bring it up with their partner or don't know how.
And I think that's the hardest part, is just like a lot of people just don't know even what they want. And so I've found my curiosity has saved my life, I think, and honestly saved our relationship many times, because we've been curious about like, hey, something doesn't feel right. Like, instead of just accepting it for how it is, let's look into something. And so what did I do? I like came home one day and I was like, babe, I saw this website. It's called Jaya. Yeah. And they have these intimate erotic blueprints. And we need to do our test to see what our test is and how we're compatible. And so to me, of course, at the beginning, I was like, what? I don't know if I want to do this.
Well, you came home, you're like, I'm a shapeshifter. I'm great. I don't know what any of this is. Is that what you were, right?
Yeah, I'm a shapeshifter.
What is the actual test?
Okay, well, we could all take it if you'd like. So Jaya, so she is a sex therapist, and her partner have been together for a really long time. And being a sex therapist, that's a lot of pressure to have like a total connection with your partner. And I mean, she'll be able to tell the story way better. But her and her partner were not doing well after about 10, 11 years. And so she was like, oh, my goodness, what do we do? So she ended up figuring out this whole test and this whole method. So when we took the test, I realized that there were certain things that gave me connection and intimacy that were different than what gave Brooks connection and intimacy. Mm. And so by almost learning each other's language, sort of like love languages, you guys have heard of that before, it was almost like a menu of how we could please each other sexually, but also intimately, how I describe intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Gavin just perked up when you said like a sexual menu. He was like, huh?
Actually, it was the menu part that got me excited.
Right? Hey, everything is about feeding us, right? Everything is about feeding our souls, feeding our needs, all of it. So,
Brooks, did you the next time after you took that test, did you have in your head
when you were intimate the first time after a checklist of sorts that you're saying, like, okay, Julianne's number one thing is X, got to do that first, then I'm going to segue into number two, and no, we'll move down the list? Like,
it wasn't a to-do list, though. But you, what happens is you do get educated. So I think a lot of times, whether it's in a, even just in a relationship, in intimacy or in sex, you give what you want. Mm-hmm. So you give the way that you want it. So if acts of service are really important to you, you'll give acts of service because you think somebody wants it. But
I'm physical touch, so I want you to pick me up and throw me on the couch.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
We got
not now.
But seriously, though, that was my form of affection, and we had to work on that.
So that's all it does is it allows me to understand my wife more and what's important to her. Otherwise, I'm going to try and keep giving the way I think that I'm supposed mm-hmm. to, or maybe what she wants, but I don't understand really what she wants. And if some people are having a tough time bringing this up in their relationship, just use this test.
The little test as, or a tool.
As
you
a
know?
Vehicle or yeah. a vessel to bring it up, to open up this discussion. But mm-hmm. no, I don't end up going with a checklist, but all of a sudden I have these things in my mind that, okay, if I do this or if I do this with my wife, she's going to respond amazingly mm-hmm. and that's going to make me feel better and make our connection mm-hmm. feel better. So, but it goes both ways. And she's been very receptive to the things that make me feel intimate or mm-hmm. connected as well.
I want the time mm-hmm. to connect with whoever the person is that I want to be intimate with, even if it's not about sex, it's that connection. So how do you guys make that time to connect?
Well, first of all, while you were saying that, the first thing that popped into my head was, what does time even mean to you? How much time do you think you need? Or is it really about being seen? Yes. And I...
Oh, baby.
Yeah, we have waterworks.
But I think that, and I think as a woman, I think our biggest thing is people talk about connection, but excuse my French, but what the fuck does connection even mean? And it's like, as a woman, we just want to be seen. And so we go to dinner a lot of the time, and dinner for Brooks is great because he's getting fed. He's got, you know, me there, whatever it might be. But for me, dinner to me means I want eye contact, and I would really appreciate you maybe touching my hand at some point. And we could sit probably for 5 minutes and just stare at each other. And it, honestly, it's uncomfortable for a minute. But that presence is actually the thing I think you're craving.
Is Brooks lifting a dumbbell with his other hand? Holding your hand.
I think he would if he could. Like, if I allowed it.
His foreplay is box jumps.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I think that's what, honestly, if women are listening to this right now, connection is the word that we go to, but I think really it's that we want to be seen. We want to take down our guard. We want to let down our barriers. We want to be naked.
For those of you, because obviously there's no cameras, for those of you that didn't see, Julianne said something quite beautiful and touching. And for those of you that couldn't see, both Amy and Ryan started crying.
Gav teared up too.
Gavin is still looking for a menu.
Yes. True. Yeah. I was actually busy Uber Eats just now.
But I'm curious, by the way, as a woman, and I obviously know my husband really well, and I'm still learning about him every day, but what makes you guys feel intimate? And silence.
I think it's that same thing of connecting mm-hmm. and being, when you walk into the house, whether you have 3 kids or 12 kids or mm-hmm. you're gone all day or whatever, it's putting down that phone or it's having the phone in your pocket, but connecting. Hey, honey, how are you today? Or how was your day? Mm-hmm. How's work or whatever? And being able to, and I've been married for 15 years. Mm-hmm. It's being able to, for me, to like open up to that person, you know? Okay. And if they're making dinner and they've got their phone in their hand and they're returning a work email mm-hmm. or whatever, but it's that listening point mm-hmm. of the day, you know, mm-hmm. whether it has to be completely silent and you're sitting on the couch staring at somebody mm-hmm. in my shoes, that's not
what
that,
you need.
That is not mm-hmm. where life is mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that's not what I need.
Totally.
But It's about having that connection, being able to open up about that. You know, like when I got home from the show, my wife, you know, we talked to each other, and she was like, you know, I'm just so happy that you're doing this, you know, and it's something different for you. And to me, I honestly haven't had those kind. And to me, that was an intimate conversation, you know, and it was like, wow, she's spending a time to like compliment me on something that, yeah, an acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. It's acknowledgement. You're right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I took it in, and I wasn't like, oh, don't worry about it. No, we went out and had beers after, you know, I was like, you know what? Thank you. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Like I needed that, you know, or whatever that was. And to me, that's what that intimacy or that connection is. Mm. So
beautifully said,
that
man.
That was so beautiful. I love that.
Thanks.
Awesome. I'll say I do agree with that, and I'm going to share a story which I've probably never told anyone, but maybe a couple of years ago I was away for a week for work, and when I came home in the middle of the day, and the kids were in school and my wife was there, and I walked in and I was like, and you know, it had been a full week basically, I was out of the state, and I came home and I was like, hey, and she's like, hey, I'm in here, and I walked in the other room and she was basically sitting at the computer, and it's not a big deal. But all of a sudden, for some reason, I felt somewhat devastated, like didn't get up from the computer, didn't come in and give me a hug. It was like I had been gone for an hour. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and I didn't blame her for that, but I thought to myself, I got to change this. Like there's definitely stuff that I can do in this, mm-hmm. that I can be more attentive. And I can be a better partner in this relationship where it's like, and there was nothing seriously wrong, but that moment mm-hmm. just kind of spooked me for a minute, where I was like, that's not what I want. And I know that's not what she wants. So I have to make sure that this doesn't go in that direction. So I've made a conscious effort to be better about stuff like that. And I do try and give, we do try and, you know, I'm Greek. So I think, and I'm a very, you know, I'm a, you know, I come from a
I
family.
I love your restaurants,
who,
by the way.
Thank you very much. Special menus for you. I come from a family of like, you know, you hug when you leave the house, you hug when you come home. And so that's where I come from. And it's like, so I made it a conscious effort after that to try and make sure that that doesn't disappear.
That's awesome.
Right.
You know, Julianne, you spoke a little bit to it in terms of being present, and you know, we've all kind of touched upon it, but when I get home, now more than ever, it is so easy for us to get home, having not seen each other for an entire day, and to feel compelled to pick up your phone and to look at your email or to be on Instagram, and I genuinely get home and I look forward to being able to sit down with my wife, and we have an hour before we put our son down, but I can catch up with her and talk about our day and talk about anything without TV, without music, without mm-hmm. our phones out, and not feel bored whatsoever, and really genuinely look forward to getting home, mm-hmm. to having that very real and honest conversation just about our day. And I have plenty of friends who are baffled by that and think it's like, it's bizarre. We've been married for 5 years. We've known each other for 10, that we could have enough to talk about for that long and to not want to go do things with other people. But I'm like, we'll go out to dinner just together. And we'd rather do that, quite honestly, than go with a big group because we have enough to talk about. And mm-hmm. I have always valued that in my wife. And it's partly why I wanted to marry her, is that we always have something to talk about. It's always interesting. There's never a dull moment. And that to me, you know, is more important than anything, I think.
Mm-hmm. Gav, how about you, buddy?
I'm the single guy. As far as these types of things go, I think all of it's valid. And I'm learning from everybody in the room. I think finding somebody who you have enough in common with, maybe more in common with them than you can find in most people, and at the same time is balancing it out with being able to challenge you as well. It's a hard thing to find because you want to be in so much agreement at all times, but also you want someone who is also challenging you, not necessarily in an adversarial way, but someone who is saying, well, you know, maybe you should try this, maybe you should try that, maybe you should cut your hair shorter. And
inside
and
joke.
These type of things. Sorry, inside jokes, guys. But you know, these are the types of things you kind of look for, someone who is encouraging you but challenging you to be at your very best. These are the types of things. I don't know if it's the same for all people or all men or whatever, but I like when people sort of challenge me to be better at something, whatever that might be. And so I don't respond well to complacency. I respond much better to challenges. And I need goals. Otherwise I'll just kind of go into my own personal cave in my mind. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? But I also need encouragement. I need to hear those. You're doing a great job. I like what you did. What have you considered doing this other thing? And those are the ways I find connections with people. I have an ego like everybody else, and it needs to be fed, but it also needs to be challenged.
That's a good point, Gavin. And I think to kind of counteract that, I also feel like intimacy is somebody that's accepting of who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, and
yeah.
It's like, just because you didn't get that job or you didn't become mm-hmm. the best whatever
100%.
Person in the world or whatever, they're that person, and it goes both ways, obviously, is accepting of who you are, you know? And,
yes.
And that's, I think, the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. I 1,000% agree with you, because I would say Brooks and I are really different people. We have the same values and, you know, end goal of where we want our lives to be, but how we get there is very different. And when, you know, I can have chemistry with a wall. Like, that's just honestly, that's just me. Like, I am a very external person. Mm-hmm. I am kinesthetic. I have great energy. Like, I am a fluid person. Like, I'm attracted to all. Like, that is just my nature. And so for me, kind of what you were saying before, Gavin, is that, like, I can have chemistry and connection, but my intimacy is with Brooks, because he challenges me and he sees me for exactly who I am and accepts me for the fact that I can have chemistry and connection with a lot of people, but I choose him every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is also really sacred, and that's why we have an intimate relationship. Mm. And I don't have that kind of intimacy with a lot of connections that I make throughout my life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. We got to take a break. We'll get more to this right after the break. We've talked a lot about creating intimacy and how to keep it in your relationship, but let's talk about some things that maybe stifle intimacy. So as much as creating it is important, I think not doing things that prevent intimacy is equally as important. So in our relationship, love, please share some of the things that I have done, or maybe that men do, to stifle intimacy from a woman's standpoint, where we might not even be aware that we're doing it, but it might mean the world to you guys, or it might really offend you guys. Or what is something in our relationship that I've done that has stifled intimacy?
Interesting question. Honestly, I think it goes back to what you guys were saying earlier about acknowledgement and, you know, sometimes finishing dinner and going and sitting on the couch and putting the laptop on the lap and putting a show on and multiple distractions, I think is good. We need balance, obviously, but that definitely stifles, you know, feeling intimate and connected. Definitely doesn't make me want to be like, hey, let me go put something sexy on, you know, for sure. I'm like, oh, where are my sweatpants?
Yeah.
Let me get cozy.
Gray on grays.
Sweatpants can be sexy.
Yeah. But I think something that makes me feel super attracted and makes me then connect to myself, because I think that's the biggest thing, is it's not so much what you're doing. It's more how it's making me react. So whatever you're doing makes me then be like, okay, well, I don't feel sexy, or I'm now wanting to get cozy, or I'm now feeling unseen, so I don't want to look at you. Does that make sense?
Women, huh?
So yeah. So I think it's more in how it's making me feel. And so, you know, if I feel that you're super engaged in me, then I'm like, oh, I'm about to drop in into my female power and like give you what I want to give you. And yeah, so I'm going around in circles. No,
can I touch one thing?
Like, yeah, from you tell me what one thing I do, because I know certain things that I do that don't turn you on.
Yeah, there's one thing that Because we've said that the bedroom is a no cell phone zone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if you come to bed and then
I'm
waiting in
text.
Bed and you're like, okay, 1 second, and you're like sending an email or you're checking an Instagram mm-hmm. or something. And you're like, and then sometimes you said, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And you plug in your phone and then you roll over to me. I'm like, okay, well, I just waited for my wife. I'm second in line to her phone or mm-hmm. what she's sending. And this is at 9-10 o'clock at night, like this. So even at this time, that's more priority than me. And I really take that deeply. Like that's a deep cut for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked on that and I've voiced that and mm-hmm. nobody's perfect. I'll sometimes come to my bed and be on my phone too. And I'm sure there's many other things that you didn't say that I'll do. But for me, I think phones and devices get in the way. That's one way that I do not feel seen mm-hmm. for sure.
And you also are really good at making me realize that that's important to you.
It's
though.
So important. In our relationship, that's so mm-hmm. important to me. That's to me, like that's one of the, if you're coming into bed, which for me is a sacred place, mm-hmm. And I have to wait in line for your attention, that to me just shuts all systems down. I'm like, can I go to sleep as fast as possible?
Yeah.
I'm on to the next day already is really what it feels to me.
Is it possible she was liking one of your Instagram videos?
Probably not, because sometimes I skip over your Insta stories.
No, but is there anything like that that I do that, like, that one for me is really severe, guys. Honestly, like, and I'm sure a lot of other couples will get to bed. I've even thought about, like, plugging my phone in the bathroom so that it's not, I can't even have my phone in the bedroom. I know people out there do that. They don't allow their phone in the bedroom. And I think over time, this can become a serious issue mm-hmm. and it can drive a wedge between people. And then there really is no intimacy or sex. And it's like, check in to go to bed. Like, hey, okay, go to bed. Let's go. You know, anybody else?
No, I was just going to add to that. I think the phone thing is a big deal. I do though. My wife does real estate. And so her hours of work are obviously the daytime, but a lot of times when people are at home, you know, mm-hmm. when people are emailing her or texting her clients per se, or other, there's a deal going down or whatnot, like that happens after 5 p.m., mm-hmm. you know, even until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you know? And so it is a very challenging thing. What I was going to add to that was we just got an email from a listener named Gavin DeGraw that was asking about what is intimacy. But one more last thing I wanted to add was that something I do a lot, but I think could be a negative side to carrying the intimacy thing is carrying the load, you know, or not carrying the load. Like there are days where I come home and I'm like, I just pop myself on the couch mm-hmm. and I'm like, forget mm-hmm. this. I'm going to watch the basketball game or whatever. And I'm not doing it on purpose, but I'm not getting the dinner ready. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting the kids cleaned. I'm not, you know, engaging in her. Mm-hmm. And that has happened the opposite way, but that's a huge turnoff.
Do you ever say that when you come home and you're like, hey, today has been a day. I am really sorry, but I have to sit on the couch. I can't make dinner tonight. I'm really like, I would love to lean on you to do this tonight. And I promise you, like, I got you next time. Cause I think like that, if you've done that to me many times, Brooks has done that to me many times. And I'm like, oh wow, that was important for him to tell me that. And it made me feel seen because at least he acknowledged that he can't help me.
And you've done it to me too. We know that now. I can almost mm-hmm. see it when you walk in the door. I'm like, okay, get your bottle, get the girls
ice.
On you, get your dogs
well,
on you. Let's sit
thing,
you down.
When you have children and they mm-hmm. are doing multiple things at multiple times year round, you know that is where it's like we are. Like I said earlier, we're at different ends on the weekends in mm-hmm. different cities doing baseball, soccer, whatever that may be. And it's kind of like we'll circle back at home and I'll be like, wait, did you not get a chance to go to the store today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or like she'll be like, wait, you didn't pick up the dry cleaning? You know, mm-hmm. like it's so hectic and crazy that it is a very hard time. And I think mm-hmm. to my point was like, you know, balancing that load or not doing that. And to me, maybe that is an intimate thing. It was where you're both carrying each other down that path.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important in any relationship. Dimitri was telling me where to go on the way over here, giving me directions. That helped our relationship out a lot.
I feel a lot closer to you after
me
that.
Too. We're sitting like right here.
So what else, like love, what else can guys do from a woman's standpoint to make the woman feel seen, to bridge that connection of intimacy? What can we do that's maybe not 12 roses, Yeah. I'm sure that helps. But what little things could we do on a daily basis to...
I mean, interests. I think, you know, like, we don't have all the same interests. And sometimes it's okay to have our separate things. But sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, you don't really know my life because... And I don't really know your life because we have separate interests. I think something that would be really helpful is finding something that you want to learn about each other. So, like, I should probably come and do some CrossFit. Just, you know what I'm saying? Just because I feel like...
You've done a couple?
I've done a couple. Yeah. But I think it's more because I want to relate to him. I want to, you know, I want to... When he does talk to me about his CrossFit, I'm not like, oh my gosh, I can't hear another one of those AMRAPs or whatever it's called. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to engage in his interests. So I think... If there is something that you don't know anything about their life, maybe like be curious and like try to engage in what they like. And for you, I've asked you to come and do like Soul Cycle with me or core power yoga. Come to the spa.
Why don't you go do power yoga, bro?
You've never been a spa person, but you're like, okay, it's important to her. I'll do it, you know? And that way, at least we can have a conversation that I feel self-expressed and I can get excited and I can talk. And then he's there and he's like engaged and not like, what in the hell is she talking
and
about?
Honestly, for guys, that was hard for me at the start of our relationship.
It was.
I was a sports dude coming into like an arts type lifestyle. And so she wanted to do these certain things. And I'm like, no, like, no, I have no interest. And I was pretty blunt. I was like, no, I just answered selfishly. I don't want to do that. And then, but it didn't register like this is what like somebody that's freshly in a new relationship or somebody not in one, you're going to learn your partner as you go, what matters to her needs to matter to you or what matters to him. And you learn this and then eventually it does. When I see her excitement, you're busting to say something. What is it?
Well, we always have this fight. So we do have a fight that we have gotten better at.
We've gotten better at.
Uh-oh. But it would be a lot of the times I would be like, hey, babe, so there's this party. Do you want to go?
No, hold on.
Is it worse than that?
You state something. You're like, there's a party Friday night. And I'm like, great. That's it. And that's it. Like, I don't know if she's asking me to go. I don't know if she wants to go because she's not, there's a party Friday night. This is going on. Like, we should go. This would be so awesome. Can we go? Do you want to go with me? I'd love to. You're fired up about this.
And sometimes I'll be like, there's a party. Or, hey, there's a movie at 4:15.
What do you do with that as a guy, right? What do you do with that?
Oh, there's a lot.
I mean, Alexa will do that too. You say, Alexa, what time's the movie? 4:15.
Right.
So what I've learned is that he's like, great, give me a clear answer. If it's something that you want, then of course I'll do it with you. But you're not asking me anything. You're just expecting me to know. Right. And so... I'm like, well, yeah, you're my husband. You should know.
That is a number one woman thing. We think you read our minds.
It totally is.
I'm convinced. Like, how does he not know to do this?
And I think that is what makes us very different people, you know? And I think being ultra clear. So, okay, I'm about to go off for a second. So... talking about like male and female energy, which is in every human, gay, straight, whatever it is, everybody has a male and a female energy. Male energy is like clear, direct, to the point. Female is like open and unknown and curious, and it kind of just lives out in nowhere. So sometimes when we are so connected to our female, we don't have a lot of clarity because we're in all of it. And so there's like a knowing that we have that's like an intuition that we just know. There's like, it's kind of this thing. Whereas like guys are so in their male that they are like, we need clarity and direction. Just give me an answer.
Well, that's interesting because supposedly there's a direct opposite correlation there.
Okay.
In that it has to do with the synapse in the brain.
Yes.
And that women have naturally better intuition and men naturally have better sense of direction. And that's the trade-off.
So that's actually what I was describing.
It's funny that you mentioned direction and you mentioned intuition.
Yeah. So that's exactly, the knowing. So obviously in male and female, we want to be able to connect both. But I'm just saying when men are very in their male, that is what they need. And so women, I think, sometimes have to be like, okay, how is a man thinking right now? Let me be very clear.
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
Yes.
Please, my friend.
Okay. So... So I've had this scenario before. You don't ask me how my day went. Mm. But I did. And here's how I ask it. What's up?
How could she get that wrong? I can't believe she missed the boat there.
Because when you're from New York, what's up means, how you doing? How was your day? Did you see anybody we know today? Where'd you eat? How was lunch? Do you want to get dinner later? You know, we should do something crazy next weekend.
All of that.
What's up means.
So if you ask me,
like, so New Yorkers are in their female.
My day is.
Hold on, Gav.
Yeah, I did. Gav. I said, what's up?
Gav, next
that
time you...
That means, how is your day?
Next time you ask me what's up, does that mean like, hey, do you want to do, you want to come
hey, man, you
be
wanna...
featured on my record? Is
yeah,
that
man,
means?
How about a feature? How about...
Like, you, you want to write a record together?
Yeah, it's very regional.
I'm going to go.
It's regional. So
what if all of a sudden you come home and there's a girl there and you're like, what are you doing? And she's like, well, you said, what's up? So I thought that meant come over.
I'd say, well, clearly you're not reading the nuances in how I said it. You know?
Oh, man.
I said New York, but it's upstate specifically. And you can't just come over like that. You know?
I can understand how she might not respond properly to that.
You never ask me how my day is. Sure, I do. I always say, what's up?
What is hard about saying, how was your day? Like, that's another, communication is a whole other thing. What was hard about saying, how was your day?
Because it's not what's up, and I'm used to what's up. So and that's all.
But you're used to what you're used to. She's used to what she's used to.
Right.
If it's good.
But is this about learning each other? Aren't they supposed to learn that what's up means how was your day?
I think you're going to figure it out as you come together.
I'm kidding. But it was, you know, you're asking what's up. That means, that just means what it means where I'm from.
Okay.
That means, can I borrow $20?
Okay. We need to break. This is How Men Think, and we've discussed a lot about intimacy. So I want to give you guys, the listeners, some clear, actionable things to create intimacy in your relationship. So we'll start with you, Ryan. As a man, what has your wife, it could be your partner, girlfriend, or whoever's listening, but what has your wife done to help intimacy in your relationship?
She has, one of the things I really crave is initiation, that she initiate intimacy. The irony is that what she craves is that I initiate intimacy. So we're kind of at a standstill oftentimes.
That's cool.
High noon.
But in the event that she does initiate, it is very appreciated. The other thing is my love language is compliments and gifts. I like gifts. It makes me feel loved. She jokes about it, but seriously, if she gives me a gift, I feel
like a snow globe or something.
Snow globe. That's a big gift in our household.
Yeah.
If he gets a snow globe, it's on.
Yeah. That's it. Let's do this.
Awesome. Dimitri, what about you? With you, what does your wife do that creates intimacy for you?
I agree with the compliment. I think a nice compliment, you look good, you know, that was whatever, you know, that was really funny. You know, it could anything. You come back from a dinner with people and you're like, man, you were on, or you really took, you know, sometimes what I pride myself on a lot is to be able to go in any situation. So she could take me to a work party where I know no one and she can leave me. Like, I'll be fine. I'm not going to be the guy walking around annoying people, but she doesn't have to babysit me. So stuff like that, you know, when she says, hey, you know, thanks, that was, you did, you know, you not you did great like a teacher, but hey, I really appreciate what, you know, tonight that you came and you know, you got along with everybody. Stuff like that means a lot to me, because I think that's tough to do. And I think that's something that you know, it's important to do for the person that you love. And so when there's an acknowledgement of, hey, I know you did that for me, and I do appreciate it. I think that's, you know, that's...
Was it tough to do because you don't like her friends?
I like the ones that are listening right now.
Rick, what about you, buddy?
Not to be on the same acknowledgement, you know, train, but obviously acknowledgement, you know, and whether that's, you know, engaging with that person in a conversation or, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, like recently and literally in the last like 5 to 6 months, even longer, my wife has made our house turn into something magical. Like, you know, there's flowers in places that I didn't even know you could stick a pencil. There's flowers, you know, and
Dimitri's got a dirty look on his face.
That might be our next episode. But no, honestly, it's coming home and having those flowers. You know, it's there's life, there's presence, there's, you know, and that to me makes it intimate, you know, and that is important to me, you know, for some reason. I like the countertops clean. I like having a killer bouquet of flowers. I like having, you know, it for some reason right
you're
now.
You're sensual. That's one of your primary love languages, but where erotic languages. Yeah. Sensuality. Yeah. No. Sensual environment.
You're right. No, and the more I get older and I kind of, you know, learn more about myself, I you're dead on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Great answer. Gav? If you're like meeting somebody you meet or go on a date with, like what's something that somebody can do to create intimacy that's going to attract you to them where like you're pulled to them more than just
I like
a date.
Caretaker. That's what I like. You know, I mean, it's like, I like the for lack of a better word, that the mom instincts thing to take care of. You know, I have natural. I like to take care of somebody. So, you know, I like to provide, let me get you nice things. Let me protect you. Let me get the door, you know, let me do all the things that you find risky for you. You know what I mean? Those are the things I like to do. I'm very old school in that way, you know, and I like a natural caretaker. That's what I'm attracted to. So any of those that may not sound like the, you know, the most modern approach to things, but I think that's the sexiest thing in the world. So, you know, that's my taste, period.
Beautiful. Yeah. Jules, what things?
What about you? I want to hear your point of view.
I want you to go first. You want me to go first?
Yeah, I want you to go first.
So something that I love is when you come home, you come in the door and you give me a massive kiss. Because usually I'm at home, I've been training or working out or something, and you're usually out and you'll come home and you'll give me a massive kiss. I love that. That instantly connects me because we've both been doing our thing all day and separate from each other, and that instantly brings us together. And you're exceptional at that. So that's one of my favorite parts of the day. You know that I absolutely love it anytime you feed me.
I know.
I love it. It means the world to me when she either like, especially when you cook. My wife is an exceptional cook. Mm. She is a wizard in the kitchen. She can find anything in the kitchen, in the pantry or the fridge, and whip it together, and it's a new taste every single time.
But as they say, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Yes, and it's true. Yeah. For me, sure. It's true. She knows when, or even just like, even if she Postmates me lunch, means the world to me.
Sure.
The other thing is when you put lingerie on, I am fired up. I love it. Like, who does it? But I love it. It means you're thinking of me and you put something sexy on. He's and like, you look so beautiful and sexy. And I'm just like, I crave you.
I like when you put lingerie on me.
Yeah. but then there's also another, and I think you'll attest to this too. There's times where I know that you're really seeing me. And it could be just in the kitchen or something. You're looking at me differently, like right now, where I see that you really see me. And I think that means to me, I also know that when that's happening, that you're in an amazing place yourself personally. And our relationship is always the best when you're in an amazing place or I'm in an amazing place. We're then able to give our best versions to each other.
Like at iHeart.
Those are some of the ways that you really create intimacy. And also, you're so good at it that you always drive that in our relationship. That's, you have an engine to continue that, and you always drive that. And it's a way I look up to you, and it's a reason why it's become more important to me. And I strive to be a better man to create more of the ways you're about to tell me that I can create intimacy in our relationship.
I think you guys are going to be intimate tonight.
I think so too. Man.
I hope tonight and not like soon, because we still have to finish it.
So what can I do?
Clear the room.
Yeah.
What do I do, or what can I do better in our relationship to create intimacy?
Honestly, everything you just said was intimate. It honestly felt like nobody else was in the room because we had total connection. We're eye contact right now. Mm-hmm. And even though there's people around here, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not vulnerable. Like, I am vulnerable, but I'm not conscious because like all that matters is our connection right now. So I think what you just did was intimacy. Just listening. First of all, thank you guys for being so open and, you know, talking and allowing me to come in here too as a woman and, you know, give my two cents. Cause I think, you know, just listening to you guys, the common thread that I heard from you guys is that you want acknowledgement and appreciation for who you are. And not just for what you do, but for the effort that you put into being the man that you are. And I think that as women or as a partner, I mean, it feels really good to be able to also give that. And then as a woman, I think we obviously just want to be seen. And if you think it about both of those things, it's kind of what Brooks just said, is like when I'm in my best place and he is in his best place, we are so focused on each other because we're not needing anything for ourselves, because we're filled up from our own self-love or our own desire to be seen. And so I think if anybody's listening, obviously focusing on yourself to be the greatest version of yourself so that you can give freely to your partner. And that is the most like connected, intimate thing you can have, because you're already full and you don't need anything.
Beautiful.
So.
Well said. Mm-hmm. Well said, love.
Yeah. I can't wait to have sex with you.
So, is that going to be on Instagram? No.
For people listening, where can they find you? Because you share a lot of this kind of discussion and raise these kind of topics on your social. So for people listening, where can they find you to learn more about this kind of stuff?
Yeah, my Instagram is at Jules Huff. Twitter, Julianne Huff. My website, Julianne Huff. I'm on AGT.
Yeah.
That's right. I have a lot of things that I'm working on too. I'm just so fascinated in self-discovery. And when you can really connect to your own truest form and your truest self, you can connect with anybody and really give them, I think, presence and connection. And that's what I think our world really needs. And we'll be more intimate with each other and less on our phones. So
beautiful. Yeah. We'll end there. For you guys listening, please let us know your thoughts. Send us an email at man@iHeartRadio. You can find us on Instagram at How Men Think Podcast. Check us out there. I appreciate you coming in, love. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
If this podcast got anybody to get charged up and be intimate, let us know that too.
Send us stuff.
Take care of one another. Love one another. We'll see you back here next week.
Snow globes.
Hey guys, it's Brooks, and one last thing before you take off. We want to know your thoughts, feedback, insights, and questions for us on this show. Send us an email at men@iHeartRadio.com and follow along with us on Instagram at How Men Think Podcast, and we'll see you back right here next week for the next episode.